I'll start with introductions. My name is Anastasia Gage, and I am Associate Professor at Tulane University. And today I'm going to talk about risk factors for dating violence victimization and perpetration among high school students in Port-au-Prince in Haiti. And I would also like to acknowledge my two collaborators, Jean-Guy Honoré and Josué Dillion, who are also present here. I think it goes without saying now, because it's fairly well established, that relationship violence is prevalent among young people worldwide. In Haiti, there was a recent 2012 nationwide demographic and health survey data which showed estimates of violence among 15 to 19-year-old girls who were married or living together, and lifetime IPV victimization in their current union was 43%. Lifetime IPV participation was 8%. That should be 8, not 18. Because surveys are now collecting data on whether women are also perpetrators of spousal violence as well as victims. But one of the things we see in low-income countries, we have limited data on partner violence outside of marriage. And this is very important for us to collect, because it has been shown that early in a dating relationship, that violence is more likely to occur. I won't go into the adverse consequences of violence, which justifies the problem, because three of the other speakers, or four of them, have already covered that. So that saves me a little time. So the objectives were to examine the risk factors for dating violence, both perpetration and victimization, but also to examine the influence of perceived peer norms and test whether there were sex differences in the association of perceived peer norms with dating violence. So the data come from a baseline evaluation survey that was part of a project to test the effectiveness of Fauci and Langwick's Safe Dates curriculum. And we looked at students in grades 10 to 12, and we had four high schools in Port-au-Prince, two public and two private. And these schools were matched by type and then randomly assigned to receive the curriculum and not to receive the curriculum, and those not receiving were in the controls. We got a lot of collaboration from all the schools, and we also had authorization from the Ministry of National Education and Professional Training, the West Department Directorate. We got ethical approval from Tulane University, and even though we find that in low-income countries we do have students who are 18 years and older, sometimes even up to the early 20s, we got written parental consent for all students, as a school would normally do, and we also got written child assent or informed consent. And we conducted this baseline evaluation survey in November of 2013 using a self-administered questionnaire that was developed. It came with a curriculum, but we added to it, we added more socioeconomic characteristics, and we also added questions to capture peer norms, especially empirical expectations around anger response and perceived peer acceptance of dating violence and normative expectations around what they believed their closest friends thought they should respond, or how they believe their closest friends thought they should respond in case they were angry with somebody. So we had 328 students who had ever been on a date and had no missing data on any of the variables included in the analysis. So this slide presents the outcome variables. We had four outcome variables, and they were defined as scales. We had psychological victimization, dating violence victimization, physical, sexual dating violence victimization, and we also had psychological dating violence perpetration and physical sexual dating violence perpetration. So, you know, there are some discussions around what is exactly a date, if you ask people. So we defined a date to include informal activities like going to the beach, meeting somebody at a shopping center or at a basketball, football, volleyball game, as well as more formal activities like going out to eat or to a movie together. In Port-au-Prince and like in many other low-income settings, you know, the range of options for people who will be dating tends to be a little limited. So we had 14 items constituting the psychological violence, victimization, and perpetration scales. They had good internal consistency, as shown by the Kornbach's alpha. The range was 0 to 42 for the psychological victimization and perpetration, and from 0 to 54 for physical sexual victimization, and 0 to 51 for physical sexual perpetration. And what is clear from here is that the psychological dating violence scales, whether victimization or perpetration, are higher than the physical sexual victimization scales. So we conducted the analysis with data version 12. We had chi-squares for cross-tabulations of categorical variables, one-way ANOVA and t-tests for continuous variables. We had variance inflation factors to test for multicollinearity, which was within an acceptable range. And we used multiple linear regression methods for the multivariable analysis. So I present here the independent variables and the sample characteristics, just to save on slides. And we control for age, both parents having secondary or higher education, grade, the exposure to wife-perpetrated spousal violence in the family, exposure to husband-perpetrated spousal violence in the family, personal acceptance of dating violence, and destructive anger response. Now, we can see that there are very little disparities or differences between men and women in terms of the background characteristics, except in this case, we find that there are more boys with having both parents who have secondary or higher levels of education than girls. But otherwise, there's very little difference. And these were the other variables that we controlled for. Constructive communication, perceived positive consequences of dating violence, gender stereotyping, peer acceptance of dating violence, perceptions of peers having a destructive response to anger, and perceived peer expectations for a destructive response to anger. So when we talk about the perceived peer expectations of destructive response to anger, we're talking about normative expectations, that you believe that your peer, your closest friends, think you ought to behave in a particular way or respond in a particular way to anger. And we felt that these factors could affect how you communicate in case of disagreements, and it can affect your conflict management skills and dating violence perpetration. So these are the regression results. One thing, let me go back. I wanted to point out, I'm going the wrong way. How do I get back? Okay, I wanted to show something. Here, you can see that the personal DV acceptance scale is 6.5 for boys and 5.6 for girls. So that's their own personal acceptance. When it comes to their perceptions of their peer acceptance, the perception of peer acceptance is higher than the personal acceptance. And we see the same thing with the destructive response to anger, which is implying that if your peer, your closest friends are in the same school, you might be having misperceptions about the extent to which they support destructive anger responses and the extent to which they approve of dating violence. So these are the regression results. I summarize them for you because I don't know if you like looking at negatives, positives, and stars. But here we find that there are at least four variables that are risk factors for dating violence victimization, both psychological and physical. And they are exposure to wife-perpetrated spousal violence in the family, personal acceptance of dating violence, destructive responses to anger, and perceived positive consequences of dating violence. These are the rest of the regression results. We can see gender stereotyping is important for psychological, important risk factor for psychological, but not for physical, and perceived peer acceptance of dating violence for physical and not for psychological. Perceived peer destructive anger response, but we also have these interactions with being female, which we are not significant. So I'm just going to summarize what those risk factors are for you because it's easier to see it this way. Exposure to wife-perpetrated spousal violence in the family, personal DV acceptance, destructive response to anger, constructive communication skills, and we'll talk a little bit more about this one. Perceived positive consequences of dating violence, gender stereotyping, and perceived peer destructive response to anger. So I have a card coming up. 2 minutes. All right. So I hope you remember the rest of the results, because I'm going to switch now to perpetration. So perpetration, what is clear from this particular slide is that none of these variables are risk factors for perpetration except for the perceived positive consequences of dating violence scale, which is significantly associated with physical dating violence perpetration. But when we look at the rest of the results, we find that if you perceive your peer accept dating violence, your scales of psychological violence and physical violence perpetration are significantly higher. If you perceive your peer have destructive anger response, the scales are significantly higher. And we can see that the interaction terms for perpetration are significant. So the perceptions that peer have a destructive response to anger is significantly associated with lower psychological violence perpetration scales among girls and among boys. But among girls, the perceptions that their peers expect them to have a destructive response to anger is positively associated with both types of violence perpetration. So let me skip this and come to the discussion. I think that the findings are somewhat consistent with social learning theory and social norms theory. And we found a negative association between exposure to husband perpetrated spousal violence in the family and dating violence perpetration, which requires further examination. And the results call for school-based programs that address perpetration by both sexes, that change norms associated with dating violence and the misperceptions around those norms, to promote constructive responses to anger, and also that decrease gender stereotyping. And just to be consistent with the limitations here, the data were cross-sectional, so causal inference is impossible, small non-representative sample, the findings are not generalizable. We rely on perceptions of the closest friends. It may overstate peer influence if there are misperceptions. And we also have social desirability bias. But before I go on to the last limitation, we must also say that there could be selectivity effects if you choose like-minded friends. You know, so if you're somebody who responds destructively to anger, you might find friends who are responding that way. And so we could see some kind of selection bias right there. But we also omit important risk factors like alcohol use and history of child abuse, which have been shown to be associated with dating violence perpetration. And then, consistent with the branding guidelines for measure evaluation, this study was funded by USAID through the Measure Evaluation and Population and Reproductive Health Associate Award. So thank you for your attention.